He was raised in Seattle by Nigerian-born parents. But today, Ameka Alams divides his time between Seattle, New York, and West Africa, where his fashion line at Gold Coast Trading Company reflects the style and substance of what he's learned about his African heritage. Ameka, thanks for joining us on Travel with Rick Steves.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You've spent, 10 years in West Africa, but you grew up in Seattle. What was it like for an American guy of African heritage to go to Africa? What were your preconceptions? What were your discoveries?
When you grow up in the States, you definitely have a certain image about Africa, what it's like and how it smells and the wars and all this stuff. And even growing up with a Nigerian parent, I still had a little fear of Africa because it was always used as a tool of discipline. Like, if my grades didn't improve or if I kept acting up, I was going to get sent to boarding school in Africa. So there was a bit of trepidation going, but then arriving there, it totally changed my perception of Africa.
So your parents came from Nigeria to the United States, and they're raising you here kind of aggressively, saying, you better be good, you better embrace this culture, or we're going to send you back there.
Pretty much, you better do well in school, get a good job. They're really honest. So growing up, I felt very Nigerian.
Here in the United States.
Here in the United States, my parents raised me as we would have been back home.
In your adventures, you went from Nigeria, that's the big country with most of the people, to Ghana and then to Ivory Coast.
Yeah, I started off in Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and I spent the most time there. And then later on, I had to actually leave Cote d'Ivoire because of some of the civil unrest they're having. So I went to Ghana and spent about a year or so there. During that time, I also went to Nigeria.
Okay, let's talk about Ivory Coast first then, because Ivory Coast, it sounds idyllic. Like you were tooling around there like a tourist in a car, making a road trip, visiting little villages, talking to the village chief.
I was.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's funny because I've been going there all these years, but up until this last year, I've never gone on a road trip. And that's something I've always wanted to do in Africa. It just seemed like something that would be really special. So this last time, me and a good friend of mine spent a few weeks on the road. And we would head off to the capital city or further north, cities like Yamoussoukro and Bouaké. And on the way there to these cities, we would just pull off the side of the road, pull up in a village. These villages weren't marked or anything.
Now, can you just do that? You just pop into a random village and what happens?
Sure. Yeah, you can. You pull in the village and you first of all, you greet whoever comes out to greet you. You ask to greet the chief or the person there who has the most.
So there is an etiquette, the big man in the village.
Definitely there's an etiquette. But in general, if you follow that etiquette, and it's really basic etiquette, if you follow that etiquette, you're welcomed and you're invited to stay and eat, and if you want, even come and stay the night, and whatever you need, they'll provide it for you if they have the means.
What's that like in the evening in a little village that's never seen an American tourist?
One of the biggest differences between Africa and, let's say, the U.S. is time. So before you do anything, just realize it's going to take some time. You cannot
be. So you can't be here at 2 o'clock and there at 4 o'clock and then drop in here at 6 o'clock.
No, you can.
That's what I do in Germany.
Yeah, it's a lot different from the very technical ways of Germany. I spent a month there.
Yeah.
But yes, be prepared to spend some time, get to know the people and the places, and just kind of explore.
So, but how do you do that? Describe the picture to us. I mean, I can imagine the big ramshackle capital city, but you've got a rental car, you're stopping at a town that's got no tourism infrastructure, you're going to speak French in Ivory Coast?
Yes.
And then you sit down, how do you spend time? What do you say to the chief of the village?
Initially, the chief and his family, the other kind of elders in the village, they all sit down in a circle. There's a long formality of greetings and asking you about this and your travels and your family. And that alone can take maybe an hour. And then when the greetings are done, they'll ask you about what you're doing.
Now, you're an American,
yes.
And they might not know that right away because you're a Nigerian, too. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, they realize you live in Seattle. What sort of questions are they going to ask you about living in the United States when you drop into this podunk village in Ivory Coast?
Well, sometimes they can be pretty amazed. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Most of the time, I feel like it's pretty blasé. They say, oh, okay.
So they're not green about this. They know what's going on in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, it's the funniest thing I noticed when I was doing the road trips was we would go to the Chinese village, but everyone had the nice smartphones and all that stuff. Cell phones are everywhere now.
So what's the food like?
In the village, yeah, the food is pretty basic.
Right.
And you eat whatever is prepared. If they're a farming village, then they normally have like bush meat, like bush rat or, you know, some sort of pheasant.
Bush meat, I've never heard of that.
Bananas and plantains and mangoes and guava, papaya, all the biggest, juiciest fruits you've ever seen all kind of grow indigenously.
Really?
Avocados.
So it's like a feast, like a
picnic
feast.
It really is.
So I'm just wondering if it would be realistic for me to go down to Ivory Coast, rent a car, and go exploring in the countryside. What pitfalls are there, and what's it like to drive there? What thieves do I have to be careful about? What are the road conditions like?
The road conditions can be pretty hairy at times, but if you're patient, you can get through it and you'll enjoy wherever you're going to go. And again, just use practical common sense like you would if you're going anywhere new, especially. Be prepared to take some time. Be prepared to maybe get stopped at checkpoints.
So you got checkpoints in the middle of nowhere?
If it's in the middle of nowhere, don't stop, because that's probably not a real checkpoint. But there are official checkpoints in the country, and they do that for security purposes and to cut down on any possible issues you might have traveling on the road.
So don't stop if you see a fake checkpoint in the middle of the country.
If you see some guys that look like they just popped out of the woods. And
so they're pretending they're cops. And what might they be up to? Would they want to hurt you or just extort some money out of you or take your car and leave you stranded?
In general, there's nothing to be extremely concerned with besides maybe losing your car or a few bucks. But they generally just want some possessions from you.
Money.
Money.
If some guy comes out of the bushes, stops your car and says, I want your money, and you're in the middle of Ivory Coast, what do you do?
Well, you give it to him, and then you just continue on.
Without money, so you're just going to be eating giant mangoes for the rest of your time.
Yeah, I mean, they're delicious, so you should be okay.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We are talking about West Africa, and our phone number is 877-333-7425. Dion is on the line in Rhode Island. Dion, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Emeka.
Hey.
Thanks, Dion, for the call. Do you have a question or a comment for Emeka?
I do. I have a question. I'm African-American, and I'm a descendant of West African slaves. And I'm very much interested in visiting West Africa with my husband, and he's a native French speaker. And I was wondering if you could suggest a specific country. There's so many countries there, but if you could suggest a specific country, that would be a great jumping-off point for us to explore the culture, history, and the natural wonders of West Africa.
If it was up to me, I feel like you must go to Ivory Coast, being a French speaker, and also Senegal, because you get a contrast of people, a contrast of religion, and you get a really varied look at the landscape of West Africa. And then also you have the history there of slavery as well. So you get to look on that, get to the slave castles in Senegal and things like that. But in general, the people are amazing and lovely, and they'll be really, really welcoming.
Tell us about the slave castles. I know in Ghana there's, what is it, Elmina Castle?
Yes. Back in 07 or 08, I went there with a few friends who had come to visit me in Ghana. And we went there, spent the day there, kind of just walked around the castle, saw the different rooms where people were kept. And it was really interesting to me to be in like a dungeon and knowing who was there and knowing their eventuality. But then being so close to, because a lot of those people lived on the water. I thought of the feeling that they must have felt being so close to home, but kind of so far at the same time. And then knowing that at that point, what their eventuality might have been.
They would know. They knew what was up for them. They were going to get in a ship and be sent to the New World.
Yes. I mean, that was your last point of departure. That was the last time you're going to see your home, your family.
So what is a slave castle? Is that just a nice word for a prison?
Yeah, prison/fort. It was also a fortitude for the colonies, and then it turned into a place to keep slaves.
Yeah.
When I was in East Africa, I got a sense that a lot of the people there weren't really so familiar with how a lot of the African Americans got to, you know, their ancestry and how they got to America. And I'm wondering, because the slave trade was important to the economy of West Africa, how do they receive African Americans, you know, today? What is the, you know, how do they view us? How are we accepted when we go over there?
Yeah, I would say that African Americans are received in general very well. People are excited to have people come back and move there and kind of realize that this is where they're from.
Is there a movement of African Americans moving back to Africa?
There's a movement of African Americans moving back to Africa, and there's a movement of Africans moving back to Africa.
Dion, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you, Emeka.
All right, thank
Take
you
care.
So much.
Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, Emeka Alams is telling us how his road trip into the villages of the Ivory Coast deepened his appreciation for his family's heritage. He designs contemporary African-inspired clothing at Gold Coast Trading Company, and his website is before1444.com. Now, you wrote about some surreal experience you had body surfing under the moonlight.
Yeah, it was surreal for a few different reasons. One, because it was pitch black, and you're out there on the Atlantic Ocean, just kind of all alone. And then you're doing that in the surf, in the shadow of a slave castle. So,
oh, wow.
So you get this sense of freedom. It's like the biggest sense of freedom, just being out there that time in the air and the ocean. But then you have like one of a big icon of, I guess, oppression.
The opposite of freedom.
Exactly.
So you were just thankful you at this time, your forefathers could have been in that castle listening to the surf.
Yes. It was a very surreal feeling, and really strange to see the contrast.
There's a poignancy there for you that I could never have.
Yeah, I mean, it's home. Like many people, my friends, they're Irish, they're French, they go back to their home. And
you know, I go back to Norway, and it's my people. And sometimes when I'm in Denmark or Sweden, I feel like these are my people. But then I cross into Norway and I go, no, these are my people. This, as subtle as that is, it's a huge difference. How would you characterize Nigerians how would an Ivory Coast person characterize a Nigerian?
I mean, in general, West Africans, I kind of look at Nigerians as the big, flashy, loudmouth bullies. But we're all pretty cool. We're pretty nice.
Well, then what about these scam artists? I keep getting email from your buddies in Nigeria. What is with this? I've never had a chance to ask a Nigerian about this.
You know, I always say that Nigerians are incredibly smart and talented people, but sometimes that intelligence and talent isn't used for the best of means. So it's sometimes almost comical, the things that you get in your email or whatever. And you would think, who would fall for this? But I've seen it firsthand hanging out in internet cafes, how these young men are creating little businesses and economies.
You've seen them working out of their laptops in cafes in Nigeria?
Yes.
And you see them hitting the jackpot with some idiot on the other end of the...
Yes. It's unfortunate, but there is some element of comedy to the whole thing.
I'm Rick Steves. We're reminding people, well, if you get an email from some stranger in Nigeria, what do you do?
Yeah, if you get an email from a prince or a king of Nigeria, you probably shouldn't reply.
Don't reply. All right. Most of us, all we know about Africa is media images, and that's going to be war and turmoil and desperate people.
Yeah.
When you go there, is that the image you see, or how were you impressed on your first trip compared to your preconditions that were shaped by you being a creature of the media here in the United States?
Well, I'll say that in my time in Africa, I've experienced everything from war to hunger to, you know, extreme poverty. But that truth is such a minute part of what Africa is and something that you don't experience on a day-to-day basis. Now, true, I've experienced that, but I've also lived there for quite a few times and just have the unfortunate timing of being there when they had certain political issues. But other than that, the image of Africa that's fed in the media is pretty much the contrary to what you would go and see there.
So you've been raised in America. I don't know how wealthy you are here, but compared to people in West Africa, you're probably pretty incredibly well off.
Yeah.
What can we learn as Americans? What can you learn as an American going to your homeland as far as what's important in life and so on?
I definitely learned that wealth is very relative. it wasn't until I got there and probably my second year living there, I really saw how all the things I had back at home, anything of material worth was all, it was useless. Because when you're there in Africa, you can see how community, having real neighbors and knowing everyone and talking to your neighbors and the whole interaction that we're missing here, it affects your life and your health in such a different way.
That was more apparent to you when you got back, this lack of connection that we have with our neighbors.
Yes.
Do people just have more time because they're not as driven with their jobs and their careers?
In general, people have more time. I feel like people make more time. I know in the evenings, one thing that I always enjoyed was we would just sit down the table and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Before dinner, during dinner, and then for a few hours afterwards, we would drink tea or coffee and just talk about the day. And then go ahead and we would just storytell about experiences we've gone through in our lives. And it builds such a strong bond with the family, your friends, and the whole community. It's a part of the culture. Huh. We had a TV. We barely watched it. We chose to just to kind of hang out and talk.
Now I went to your website before 1444.com.
Yes.
Where do you get before 1444? What is that from?
1444 was kind of the roundabout year where slavery really started.
Okay.
That European transatlantic slavery started. After that trade started, the identity was kind of lost. So the year 1444 signifies a change of mentality and ideas. So to go back before that and to realize the sort of place that Africa is still today, amazing, beautiful place, minus the issues that Africa has, it really is a beautiful place.
You've got a clothing store here in Greater Seattle?
We're based here, and I have stores that carry the product from Japan and Europe and coming soon to Australia and South Africa.
When you travel in West Africa, how are you getting ideas? How are you being inspired for your clothing line?
Oh, everything. The music, the people, just the general movement of the city. And then, of course, the local fabrics and textiles there are amazingly beautiful. I try to take those local kind of textiles and the feelings that I get when I'm around the city and translate them into my own sort of patterns and textiles and produce something traditional but unique and new. What I really want to do is to spark maybe some dialogue, some difference of thinking when it comes to how Africa is currently being seen.
Beautiful. Emeka Alams, Gold Coast Trading.
Yes.
Before 1444.com. Thank you so much for giving us a little insight into Western Africa, and good luck with your work.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wilner. Special thanks to Arizona Public Media and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation in Sydney for their help this week. You can listen again on demand, browse our archives, and find guest information in the details for each week's show. It's all in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And we'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.